today, and because it's Family Sunday, that means the kids are out with us. Super Kids are out with us today. We'll give them a welcome. Next Sunday, we'll be back on our regular schedule with Super Kids and all of that. But once a quarter, whenever we have a fifth Sunday, we call it Family Sunday. And that means families worship together. Amen? That's a good thing. Amen. Turn to your kids and say, that's a good thing if your kids are here. Amen. All right. So now we do have Kinder Church for the little ones, if you need that. But I wanted to preach something today to you, and we'll just start out. I want to read, and you can follow along in your Bible. I hope you brought your Bible. If not, the scripture will be on the screen. But the 20th Psalm, we're going to read the whole, I'm going to read the whole Psalm as we start out. It's only 9 verses. But Psalm 20, it says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice, Selah. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. Hallelujah. Now, this says, as we read at the beginning, the scripture tells us here that this is a psalm of David. And David wrote a lot of the psalms. He didn't write all of them, but he wrote a lot of them. And a lot of the psalms he was writing was his praise to God personally. He's praising God. And a lot of the psalms as prayers that he's praying for God to deliver him and for God to help him. Of course, one that we've been praying around here quite often, the 23rd Psalm, is a personal psalm where he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. But here in the 20th Psalm, David is actually offering a prayer for others, for someone else, for a friend or for someone. And I know the Holy Spirit inspired it. It's for all of us. Amen. The Holy Spirit inspired him to write these words and for them to be preserved and recorded in the Bible for us, so we know it's for us today. But it's a prayer for others. He says, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. So he's praying. He's talking to his friend here. He's talking to someone that he wants to see them have victory. He wants to see them overcome. Amen. Praise God. So we're gonna look at this, and we're just going to go through here phrase by phrase and look at this. The first thing he says is, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. Have you ever faced a day of trouble?
Yes.
If you haven't, everybody look this way. If you haven't, I'm telling you right now, you will. Well, Pastor, don't say that over us. Don't speak that. Well, it's just Jesus said in the world, you'll have trouble. It doesn't mean God doesn't love you. Doesn't mean necessarily you've done anything wrong. Just living in this world, we face trouble, don't we? And the sooner we settle that and realize that, then the quicker we can look to God and find an answer for our trouble. Amen? But David is praying here. And he says, may the Lord answer you. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. Oh, thank God. Thank God that when the day of trouble comes in our lives, that we can count on God to answer us. We're not alone in the day of trouble. We're not alone when we face the day of trouble. We don't have to be overwhelmed when we face the day of trouble. Amen? As I said earlier when we prayed for John in Psalm 107, it says they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And what happened? He didn't listen. He didn't do a thing. No, it says he saved them out of their distresses. That's even if your trouble is of your own making. Even if your trouble, aren't you glad, Nick? Even if your trouble is of your own making. Thank God. The Lord will answer you in the day of trouble. How does he do that? How does he answer us in the day of trouble? He answers us in the day of trouble by giving us promises to hold on to. Giving us his promises, his word to believe, to anchor our soul, and to give us peace. Yes, certainly he answers with his power, with his intervention supernaturally. Yes, he can do that. But I've found the number one way, the first way, is he gives me a promise. He gives me his word. Any time I've faced a day of trouble, I can tell you without fail, when I've asked him and when I've cried out to him in the day of trouble, God has given me promises to hold on to, assurance that he's going to work it out, that he's going to deliver me, that he's going to help me. Amen?
Amen.
What a God. What a faithful God. Hallelujah. He gave me his word in the day of my trouble. And he continues to do that. In fact, this word that I'm preaching you today, a week, 9 days ago, not this past Friday, but the Friday before, I went early in the morning. I started my day. I went up to, drove up to Sony Mountain, to the parking lot there, the park, and I hiked up Sony Mountain. And I just was up there at the Indian seats and the little thing there, the little platform they've built. What is that thing?
Platform.
Well, it's observation deck. That's what I'm trying to say. At the observation deck, and I'm just out there, and I just say, Lord, just speak to me. I just need you to speak to me. And he didn't say anything to me then, as he usually doesn't. I mean, he usually doesn't just speak an audible voice. He didn't write anything in the sky. And all I sensed in my heart was, just trust me. Just trust me. And so when I came back here to the church and went into my office, I opened up Psalm 20, and man, did he speak to me. Amen. Did he speak to me. Hallelujah. Right from this chapter. Praise God. And no matter how severe your trouble is, he has an answer for it. Never forget that. No matter how, there's no trouble you encounter that God says, well, I've checked, but I just don't have an answer for that. No matter how severe your trouble, he has an answer.
Amen.
Aren't you glad?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, the name of the God of Jacob defend you. The name of the God of Jacob defend you. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about the name in a minute. Look at what it says in the message here, verse 1 in the message. I like this. God answer you on the day you crash. The name, God of Jacob, put you out of harm's reach. I mean, you've crashed, and even though you had your seatbelt on, the seatbelt broke, the airbag didn't deploy, and you got thrown out of the car. And you're laying over there on the side of the road, and the name God of Jacob picks you up and puts you out of harm's reach. David and Karen experienced this with their daughter, experienced this literally. On the day she crashed, the name of the God of Jacob took her up and put her out of harm's way and delivered her and saved her life. Amen. That was on October the 2nd. On October the 1st, I had a crash. I crashed. But thank God I can testify to you today, the name of the God of Jacob picked me up.
Amen.
And put me out of harm's reach. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look at Proverbs 18, verse 10. I like what this says. Proverbs 18, 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Hallelujah. I like that. I don't know if I should admit this, but I like that song, that pop song, Safe and Sound. The first time I heard it was with the, I think it was a Mazda commercial. It's been out a couple years, I guess. It's by, and I don't recommend listening to this group. I don't know any, much about, but it's a group called Capital Cities. It's two guys, and it's like techno pop kind of sound, Safe and Sound. But the name of the song is called Safe and Sound, and I love it. I love that. They just keep saying over and over, Safe and Sound, Safe and Sound. That's what God does for us. He keeps us safe and sound. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyway, glory to God. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it, and they are safe. Now let's go back to Psalm 20, and we read it earlier, but let's skip down to verse 7 again. Psalm 20 and verse 7, he says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name. We'll do what? We'll remember the name. When trouble comes, remember the name. Why? Because the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Glory to God. The name of the Lord, the name God of Jacob will defend you. Yes. Hallelujah. The name of the God of Jacob will take you and put you out of harm's way in the day of your trouble. Thank God for the name. He says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but what are we going to do? He says, we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Remember, this is a prayer that David is writing to encourage his friend, to encourage someone else. And he says, you know what we're going to do, brother? We're going to remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen. Those who have trusted in horses and chariots, those who have trusted in their ability, those who have trusted in the natural, they've bowed down and fallen. But what happens to us because we trust in the name of the Lord? We have risen and we stand upright. Thank God. We're victorious because we trust in the name of the Lord. Amen. They started, Karen started declaring the name of the Lord. David started declaring the name of the Lord over their daughter. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm sure David, I don't know how long it had been since he had faced Goliath when he wrote this psalm, but I'm sure when he said, we will remember the name of the Lord our God, I'm sure David thought back to the day he faced Goliath. And look at what he said when he faced Goliath. We won't read the whole story. But look at what he said in 1 Samuel 17. David replied to the Philistine, you come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. He said, you're 9 feet tall, and you've got a shield, and you've got a spear, and you've got a sword, and you've got a javelin, and you've got all this armor on you. Here's what I got. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies. Hallelujah. Guess who won? Remember, does anybody know how the story turns out? Do I need to tell you? David won, didn't he? David won. Hallelujah. Amen? Hallelujah. The name God of Jacob defend you. Hallelujah. The name of the God of Jacob will defend you. In the margin of my Bible, it says literally, set you on high. Set you on high. Hallelujah. Thank God. Then he says in verse number 2, Psalm 20 verse 2, if we can get that one back up. Psalm 20 verse 2, he says, may he send you help from the sanctuary. May he send you help from the sanctuary. Now, we call this, sometimes we call the auditorium where we have church, we call that the sanctuary. You may have heard that called the sanctuary. We're going to have something in the sanctuary. So we call this, that's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about sending you help out of, although I'd appreciate that. I mean, if you all came to help me when I was in trouble, I would be greatly encouraged because I know you love me and I know you're good people and you'd do everything you could to help me. So I would appreciate that. But the sanctuary he's talking about here, he's talking about heaven. He's talking about sanctuary comes from the word sanctify, which means holy or set apart. He's talking about heaven itself. May he send you help from heaven itself. May he send you help from heaven itself. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about angelic assistance. He's talking about the angels of God. He's talking about supernatural help. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. May he send you help from heaven itself. May he dispatch his angels. The Bible says in Psalm 91, He'll give His angels charge concerning you. In Hebrews 1, it says, the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for the heirs of salvation. Glory to God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced a day of trouble, didn't they? King Nebuchadnezzar set up the image of gold, 90 feet high, 9 feet wide, out in the plain of Dura. And he said, everybody, when you hear the music play, you bow down and you worship the image. And he said that anybody that doesn't will have to face consequences. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego served the Most High God and Him only. And so the music starts and everybody's assembled out there on the plain and thousands of people hit the dust. And there's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing up. Well, talk about sticking out like a sore thumb. They did, didn't they? It was easy to spot them. They didn't have to hack into their computer and get their emails to find out that they didn't serve Nebuchadnezzar or the gods of Nebuchadnezzar. It was very obvious. Amen. And they were thrown into the fiery furnace as a result, to shorten the story. They were thrown into the fiery furnace, and we read about what happened there as they're thrown in. Nebuchadnezzar was in a rage, and he has them thrown in. And let's look at what it says here in Daniel 3:24. This is how the message. In Daniel 3:24, suddenly King Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in alarm and said, "Didn't we throw three men bound hand and foot into the fire?" "That's right, O king," they said. "But look," verse 25, "but look," he said, "I see four men. I see four men walking around freely in the fire, completely unharmed. And the fourth man looks like a son of the gods." Now, King James says the fourth looks like the Son of God. And some people draw the pictures and it's where Jesus with his beard and everything. Jesus hadn't come to the earth yet. I believe he's talking about an angel. In other words, the fourth, he doesn't look like a natural. There's something different about this one. It was an angelic being that went into that fire and surrounded Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, protected them, cut off the ropes that they were bound with, and they're loose and they're walking free in the midst of that fire, and that angel of God protecting them. Amen. He sent them help from the sanctuary. Hallelujah. The same thing happened with their friend Daniel. Daniel faced a day of trouble. King Darius had issued by his advisors had tricked him into issuing a decree that anybody that prays to any god except to the king over the next 30 days will be thrown into the den of lions. Well, they knew they would get Daniel on that because they knew Daniel's lifestyle that he prayed. You know, have you heard the old? The old question: if it was a crime to be a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Well, there was plenty of evidence to convict Daniel. He prayed three times a day. The Bible says that was his custom. And when he heard that the decree was issued, he didn't say, "Lord, I'll check in with you in a month." The Bible says he opened his window toward Jerusalem. And he got down on his knees and he prayed three times a day as his custom was. He didn't change. I said, he didn't change. Amen? We don't need to change. No matter what the law, no matter what the political climate, no matter what, we don't need to change. As far as our commitment to God, as far as serving God, as far as believing His Word. Amen? So he was thrown into the lion's den. And you know how that turned out? You know, like my friend Randy Greer says, Daniel started praying, or the lion started praying that Daniel wouldn't eat them. No, Daniel came out of that lion, and the king was all upset. He couldn't sleep all night long because he'd let these people trick him into signing this decree and putting his seal on it. And so there's nothing he could do to change it. Daniel was his friend. So he was all worried. He's old, Daniel. He says, "Is your God whom you serve been able to deliver you?" And he said, Daniel answered from the lion's den. He says, "Oh, king, live forever." And look at verse chapter 6, verse 22. He said, "My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth." My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. David prayed, "May God send you help from the sanctuary. May God send you help from His very presence, from the very throne of God. May He send you angelic assistance. Hallelujah. And then he says, back there in Psalm 20 again, in verse 2, may He send you help from the sanctuary and, everybody say and, and strengthen you out of Zion. And strengthen you out of Zion. Now, that's where it does involve us. Because Zion is another word for the church. We find in the book of Hebrews, it says, you've not come to the mount that shook and that burned with fire, but you've come to Mount Zion, to the church of the firstborn.
Yes.
So Zion is representative of the church. And he says he's going to send you help from heaven, but he's also going to strengthen you out of Zion.
Yes.
He's going to strengthen you out of the church.
Yes.
That's why the church is so important.
Amen.
That's why the devil fights the church. That's why the devil tries to divide people out and get them out of the church. Why? Because there's a supply of strength. There's a supply of strength that we're to get from our brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Amen. When you face a day of trouble, you need a church family that will gather around you. I believe the Webbs can testify that they had that in their day of trouble, that they were strengthened out of Zion. I trust some of the rest of you can testify that you've been strengthened out of Zion when you face a day of trouble. Amen? Your church family gathering around you to stand with you. God uses those relationships to strengthen you. Your brothers and sisters praying for you, encouraging you. Your pastor preaching a timely word to inspire your faith, like it's happening right now. Amen? In the Message Bible, it says, may He dispatch from Zion fresh supplies.
Yes.
Amen.
Fresh supplies.
Amen.
Well, the Bible says in Ephesians that we are each to bring our supply of the Spirit. That talks about in Ephesians 4, that which every joint supplies. Amen?
Amen.
Do you know there's a supply that you brought in here today, a supply of faith, a supply of grace that we can all draw on? Hallelujah. That when we come together, that we're to receive fresh supplies from one another. And that we're strengthened that God strengthens us out of Zion. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's keep going here. The next verse says, may He remember, I believe it says, verse 3, may He remember all your offerings. May He remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice, Selah. Aren't you glad now we don't have to bring a burnt sacrifice? Well, what do we offer? The Bible says that we're to bring the what?
Sacrifice.
The sacrifice of praise. That's right. That we're to bring the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. And David is praying here for his friend, and he said, I'm praying for you that the Lord will remember all your offerings. I'm praying that He will remember all your offerings and that He will accept your sacrifice. Well, the New Testament talks about that again in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, look at that one with me. Hebrews 6, 10, it says, God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward His name in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. When we give of ourselves in service, when we give of our offerings and we give of our lives in service to bless the people of God and to further the work of God, the Bible says God is not unjust to forget that. The Bible tells us that God will remember that. He will remember. In fact, in the book of Ruth, we find, you know how Ruth had stayed faithful to her mother-in-law, Naomi? Ruth married Naomi's son, and Naomi's husband died, and then Naomi's son died. They went to the land of Moab, and Ruth was from the land of Moab, and she decided she was going to stick with Naomi. And she told Naomi, told her, Ruth, you know, you're young, you go back and you find another husband, and and go back to your people. I'm going back to my homeland, to the land of Israel. And she said, mom-in-law, I'm staying with you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. My people will be your people. My God will be your God. And so she stuck with her and stayed with her and helped her. And Naomi said, may the Lord, as you have treated me, in essence, this is not word for word, as you've treated me, may the Lord reward you as you've shown kindness to me. And you know, that's really the way God operates. The way we treat others is the way God treats us. Jesus talked about that. He said, and we just prayed it earlier, forgive us as we forgive those who have trespassed. So the way, there's really a principle there. The way that we treat others is the way God's going to treat us. And so we can turn it in a positive way. Amen. Where it says, God will not forget your work and labor of love that you've shown toward His name. You minister to the saints and do minister. Well, that means He's going to come back. He's going to bless you. He's going to help you. He's going to strengthen you. May He remember all your offerings, David prayed. May He remember all your offerings. You may remember the story in the book of Acts, in Acts 10, about the man named Cornelius. Cornelius was not a Christian at the time. He was a Roman soldier, a Roman centurion, and he had converted. Even though he was a Roman, he wanted to follow. He knew that there was something good and right about what the Jewish religion, that they were serving the true God, the one true God. And he decided to become a follower of the one true God. So he was what we call a Jewish proselyte. He had converted to Judaism. But he still knew there was something more. And the Bible says that he gave alms to the people. He gave offerings to the poor. And he prayed to God always. And an angel came to him one day and said, Cornelius, your prayers and your offerings have come up as a memorial before God. You can read about that in Acts chapter 10. We won't take time to read the story. What happened as a result of that was an opening of the door for the gospel. None of us would be saved today, except for Bonnie, without Cornelius. Because that opened up the door of the gospel to the Gentile world. Up to that time, they'd only taken the gospel to the Jews. But Cornelius's faithfulness, his offerings and his prayers came up as a memorial before God. God sent an angel to him, and he said, you need to send for someone named Peter. While that's going on, God is giving Peter a vision, and he's telling him, in essence, through the vision, the interpretation of it, hey, this good news is not just for the Jews, it's for everybody.
Amen.
Amen. And we got in on all that. Because of Cornelius. Amen? Hallelujah. Now it gets good. Hallelujah. Verse number four, it says, may He grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. David is praying for his friend, and he said, I'm praying that God will grant you according to your heart's desire. I'm praying that He will fulfill all your purpose. And then at the end of verse 5, he says, may the Lord fulfill all your petitions. That's pretty good, isn't it? May the Lord grant you according to your heart's desire. May He fulfill all your purpose. May He fulfill all your petitions. The New Living Translation says it this way, may He grant your heart's desires and make all your plans succeed. That's when God really spoke to me. I'd made some plans. Faith makes plans. I said, faith makes plans. You need to make plans for success. You need to make plans for victory. And I had made some plans, and God gave me this word. He said, I'm going to grant you your heart's desire. I'm going to make all your plans succeed. Glory to God. And then verse 5 there of the New Living, it says, may the Lord answer a few of your prayers. Hit and miss. How many prayers? All. May the Lord answer how many? All your prayers. In God's Word translation, let's look at it there. He will give you your heart's desire and carry out all your plans. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord, verse 5, the Lord will fulfill all your requests. Last part of verse 5. The Lord will fulfill all your requests. So He wants to give you your heart's desire. He wants to fulfill all your plans. He wants to answer all your prayers. This is not too good to be true, folks. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is not too good to be true. This is Bible. Amen. This is the Word of God. This is God's will for you. Amen. He wants to fulfill all your plans, answer all your prayers, fulfill all your requests, and fulfill all your petitions. So you have any other scripture for that? Plenty, plenty, plenty. Psalm 37 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Amen. Jesus said in John 15, if you abide in me, John 15, 3. If you abide in me, John 15, 7, Brian. If you abide in me, and my, Brian is furiously taking notes over there. I love it. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it'll be done for you. You will ask what you desire. Wait a minute, Pastor. You can't just tell people that. I just did. It's not my word. It's what God said. But they'll run off with the, what if they have the wrong desire? Proverbs 11:23 says this. It says, the desire of the righteous is only good. The desire of the righteous is only good. Jesus put a safeguard in that. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. If you're abiding in Him and His words abiding in you, then your desire is going to be right. You're not going to desire the wrong thing. And then He's able just to throw it open and say, go ahead and ask what you desire. Amen. It'll be done for you. Amen. May He fulfill all your desire. May He grant you your heart's desires, David prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? Now, on the other hand, you know, this is a safeguard. The other side of it, the children of Israel desired a king, didn't they? Wasn't God's plan that they have a king at that time? They said, give us a king. We want a king. We want to be like the other nations. And God says, well, I've set you apart. You're holy. You're my people. You're my... We want to be like the other nations. They've got a king. Give us a king. Give us a king. Give us a king. Give us a king. God says, all right, have a king. He gave them a king. Wasn't bad idea. Bad decision, right? When they were in the wilderness, after they came out of Egypt, God was feeding them supernaturally with manna every day. They said, we're tired of this. We want some meat. Give us some protein. Well, He sent the quail. The Bible says, so look at this in Psalm 106, verse 15. It says, and He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. So we do, there is a caution here. We do want to make sure we're desiring the right thing. Amen. Because God has given us, He's given us free reign here. He says, I'll give you what you desire. So it is important. So we can be cautioned by these examples. But listen, don't let these negative examples cause you to draw back from boldly drawing near to God. Amen. And saying, Lord, this is my heart's desire. If you're abiding in Him and you've examined your heart and your desire is pure, then go for it. Go for it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We should be bold and we should be confident in coming to God with our desires. Well, I can believe that God will meet my needs, but no, He said, look, I preached a message one time years ago called Needs, Wants, and Desires. God wants to meet your needs. My God will supply all your need, Philippians 4. But then Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires. God wants to meet all three, your needs, your wants, and your desires. The Bible says, and in fact, the Bible says in 1 Timothy that He gives us richly all things to enjoy. He'll give you stuff just to enjoy. You don't have to try to finagle it and make it, well, now, Lord, this would help to further your kingdom. Well, He wants us to keep that in our minds foremost, but also if we just say, Lord, I would really like this. He says, okay, you can have it. Why not?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
All right. So we need to come to God with our desires, with our requests, and with our, here's what I want to get to, with our petitions. With our petitions. It says, he says in verse 5, may the Lord fulfill all your petitions. What's a petition? A petition is only to be used. Listen very carefully. A petition is only to be used when you get really serious about getting your prayers answered. If you're just praying to be praying, you don't need to use a petition. But if you're facing a day of trouble, I'm being facetious here, we should be serious about getting all our prayers answered. Amen. But what is a petition? The Bible talks about, he says, may the Lord fulfill all your petitions. What is that? One translation uses the term request. In Philippians 4, it says, let your request be made known to God. And I've talked about that before in the past, that, you know, if you work for a company, you know, maybe a certain department, you need supplies in order to do your job. And what do you fill out? You fill out a requisition. A requisition. And you turn it into the office, and it has in there a list of what you need to do your job. You don't turn it in and say, we don't have this, and I can't do my job because I don't have that, and I don't have that, and I don't have that. You'll probably get fired for an attitude like that. But if you look it up and say, okay, this is what I need, and this is what it's going to cost, these are my items, and you turn it in, they'll say, oh, okay, that's in the budget. We'll grant you that so you can run your department and do your job. Amen. That is a request. Don't go to God with your complaint. God, I'm. No. Take His word and say, Father, you said in your word,
amen,
and turn in your request.
Amen.
Well, that's really what a petition is. The dictionary says that a petition is an earnest request. That means you're serious. Amen. But look at this. Second definition, or listen to this, it is a formal written request made to an official person or an organized body as a court. An official person, as in God our Heavenly Father. An organized body as a court, as in the court of heaven. When we talked about the court of heaven, the legal system. Amen. We need to learn how to function there. And one thing is a petition. Have you ever done that? The Lord led me to do that just recently, to write out a petition, to write out my prayer and write out my petition and present it to Him in written form.
Amen.
Amen? You should do that. Well, I don't know what to write. Well, find you some scriptures.
Amen.
Find scriptures. I had scriptures that covered the thing that I was petitioning Him for. And I included those scriptures. I referenced those scriptures in my petition. And I wrote that petition out. The Lord led me to read a book a while back from my pastor, when we lived back in Tulsa many years ago, Pastor Buddy Harrison, Dad Hagen's son-in-law. The little book was called Praying for the Impossible. And in this book, when you face a day of trouble, you have to pray for the impossible. And in this book, he was talking about a petition and talking about writing it down and presenting it before God. Amen. I would encourage you, some of you may need to do that. Write your petition out and present it to God. Amen.
Amen.
And just watch and see what happens. Watch and see what He does. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 20, verse 6, he says, now I know. Glory to God.
Yes.
David said this in Psalm 37. He said, I've been young and now I'm old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Here David says, now I know. He doesn't say, you know, this is a theological idea that I have. This is something that I've heard. No, he says, now I know.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God. He says, now I know. What do you know, David? I know that the Lord saves His anointed.
Yeah.
So that's all right. That's all well and good, but what about me? You're His anointed. That's what the name, that's what the term Christian means. Christ means the anointed one. Christian means anointed one.
Yes.
You are an anointed one. Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. Hallelujah. Look at it in the, let's look at it in the message. This is what I shared with you in exhortation last Sunday at the beginning of the service, and that's what stirred me to preach further on this. Look at this. This is how it reads in the message. That clinches it. Help's coming. An answer's on the way. Everything's going to work out. Why don't you stand up and declare that over your situation? Why don't you stand up and boldly declare it over your life, over your situation? If you're facing a day of trouble, if you have a situation you're praying about, why don't you just boldly declare right now, that clinches it. Release your faith. That clinches it. Help's coming. Hallelujah. Let's say it. Let's say it together. Let's say it together. Let's say it together. That clinches it. Help's coming. And answers on the way. Everything's going to work out. Hallelujah. Do you believe it? Hallelujah. Everything's going to work out. Everything's going to work out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, sit down. Sit down for a minute. Now, one verse we haven't covered in all this, it's kind of skipped over. And said, Pastor, you forgot the first part of verse 5. No, I didn't forget. I was just saving it. Let's go back to verse 5 and with the first part of the verse here. We, again, David is writing this to encourage his friend or to encourage someone. He says, we will rejoice in your salvation. I'm not just going to rejoice over my own victory. David said, David's really trying to encourage this guy. And he says, you know what? He says, God's going to answer you. The name of the God of Jacob is going to defend you. He's going to send you help from the sanctuary. He's going to strengthen you out of Zion. He's going to remember your offerings. And give you your heart's desire. He's going to fulfill your petition. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to rejoice over it. We're so certain that God's going to answer. We're so sure that God is going to come through for you. I'm going to just tell you in advance right now. We will rejoice in your salvation. And in the name of our God, we'll set up our banners. We're already making plans. We've already ordered them from the printer. The banners are already being printed. And we're going to celebrate because, my brother, God is bringing you victory. God is working in your behalf. And we're going to rejoice in your salvation. Hallelujah. You know, there is a divine momentum. I believe there's a holy power that is unleashed when we gather together and we rejoice with our brothers and sisters' victories and breakthroughs. Amen. It's so important that we understand that. It releases a divine momentum that just sweeps through and causes God to work in each one of our lives. Amen. In the New Testament, in Corinthians, Paul said, rejoice with those who rejoice. And on the other side, weep with those who weep. We bear one another's burdens and sorrows. But praise God, we ought to rejoice with those who rejoice. When somebody has a victory, somebody has a breakthrough, we all ought to be shouting and dancing about it. We all ought to be praising God. Why? I heard somebody say, well, why? Because you're in the same line. Yours is coming. Yours is coming. Woo, they got theirs, mine's on the way. Glory. Amen. The Lord gave me a promise about our church several months ago. It's in Jeremiah 33. He says, thus says the Lord, if we can get that up there, Amy. Thus says the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place, of which you say it is desolate. Verse 11, again there shall be heard the voice of joy and the voice of gladness. What is that? That's people rejoicing over their victories. That's testimonies. That's reports of breakthrough and victory. And God said, again, there shall be heard in this place the voice of joy and the voice of gladness. Get ready. There's going to be a lot of rejoicing going on. Victory after victory after victory after victory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I love what the message or the New Living says. May we shout. Let's read the New Living next. May we shout for joy when we hear of your victory. All right, get ready to do that. Now we're going to be doing that in the days and weeks ahead. We're going to be, when we hear of people's victories, we're going to all shout. We're going to all shout over it. Hallelujah. And raise a victory banner in the name of our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. After the Lord gave me this scripture last Friday, I told Reed on Sunday, I said, look, I said, I've got a job. I've got an assignment for you. I said, it's right here. I said, when word comes of my victory, then we're going to rejoice.
Amen.
Get ready. You need to get ready.
Amen.
So he's ready. The worship team is ready. Yes. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I love what it says in the message. Look at this. Look at this. When you win, we plan to raise the roof. Oh, I like that. When you win, we plan to raise the roof.
Yes.
Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We want you to win. When you win in your situation, we're going to all raise the roof with you. We're going to praise God so loud and so strong, it's going to raise the roof.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And it talks about the banners. May all your wishes come true. Amen. That's better than Disney World. Hallelujah. Amen. When you wish upon a star. Amen. Hey, we got something better than a star to wish on. Hallelujah. We got the bright and morning star to wish on. Amen. Verse 9, we haven't read that yet. Psalm 20, verse 9. He says, save, Lord. Save, Lord. May the King answer us. Come on up, guys. And can we do God of Angel Armies again?
Yeah.
I think we should. Hallelujah. Save, Lord. May the King answer us. What?
When we call.
See, it's up to each one of us to activate it. See, it's up to each one of us to activate this prayer and this power of God released in our lives. We have to call. David's praying, he says, and encouraging his friend, and he said, may the Lord answer you, you know, when you call. And he says, may the name of the God of Jacob defend you, but you have to call. Well, what do I say? Well, there's two words. Save, Lord.
Amen.
Save, Lord. You know, David and Karen couldn't think of a whole lot to say when word comes like that, that your daughter's been in a head-on crash with a fire truck.
Wow.
They didn't tell them what happened. They said, we're calling you from the emergency room at the hospital and you need to get over here right away. Something's happened with your daughter. That's all they were told. Well, at that moment, what do? Save, Lord.
Yes.
You call out to Him.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Psalm 91, verse 15, it says this. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him.
Amen.
I will be with him in trouble.
Yes.
I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Amen.
Oh, praise God. Praise God. Let's bow our heads in prayer right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.